Good morning. My name is Sylvie, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Prontoform's second quarter 2019 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like a question, ask a question during this time, simply press star, then number one on your telephone keypad. And if you would like to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. Thank you. Mr. Babak-Pedram, you may now begin the conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning. Before we begin, I will read our cautionary note regarding forward-looking information. Certain information to be discussed during this call contains forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable security laws, including, among others, statements concerning the company's 2019 objectives, the company's strategy to achieve those objectives, as well as statements with respect to management's beliefs, plans, estimates, and intentions and similar statements concerning anticipated future events, results, circumstances, performance, or expectations that are not historical facts. Such forward-looking statements reflect management's current beliefs and are based on information currently available to management and is subject to a number of significant risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. Also, our commentary today will include adjusted financial measures, which are non-GAAP measures. These should be considered as a supplement to and not as a substitute for GAAP financial measures. Reconciliations between the two can be found in our management discussion and analysis, which is available on SEDAR.com and our website. And finally, note that because we now report in U.S. dollars, all amounts discussed today are in U.S. dollars unless otherwise indicated. With that, I will hand over the call to our CEO, Mr. Alvaro Pombo. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Babak, and thank you, Sylvie. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our company's conference call. Before I hand the call over to our CFO, David Croucher, to discuss this quarter's financials, I would like to take some time to discuss the Prontoform's business in terms of its strategy, our 2019 execution, and where we see the business heading over the next 24 months. The engine of this company continues to be recurrent revenue, and our main focus is to keep refining our business model to create more of it. Q2 was another good quarter for us, as growth in recurring revenue increased by 5% over Q1 2019 to $3.3 million, and our ARR base continued at 26% annual growth. That is now six consecutive quarters of 5% or over growth. Enterprise growth continues to be very favorable to us. Our largest accounts are now becoming even bigger. Today, we have 30% of our base made of customers with more than $100,000 of ARR, up from 23% in June 30th, 2018. We have a base of more than 100 enterprise accounts with low penetration, and now we have reached a good EBITDA level. We are continuing to invest in sales to perfect the motions to further penetrate these large accounts. Also, from a market perspective, The news is good. We have been selected by a lead IT analyst firm as a relevant niche player in a very large automation segment for building apps without requiring code. The need to enable line of business analysts to build apps to accelerate the company digital transformation never been greater, and our unique approach to enable the rapid building of field-centric apps has been clearly recognized. This is just the beginning of the journey of being a player in a well-identified rapid growth market. Another important element of our equation for getting closer to larger customers is our product. We hosted our first enterprise customer event in Ottawa this past June, and it was great. It was a great success. We share our product direction, new features, and approach to innovation, and received a very good reception. To wrap up, the demand for our product continues to grow. The complexity of field workflows is growing every day. More sensors, more digital twinning, more machine learning, more data ingestion requirements. Large organizations have made very clear decisions about enabling their line of business analysts with low code and self-serve application development capabilities. More intelligent workflows are needed in the field, and the old way to dealing with them through building custom apps is not sustainable, particularly for enterprise operations. Our product delivers on both needs at scale, so I see no end in sight to the problems we solve. With that, I will hand over the call to Dave to discuss our financial performance for the quarter. Dave.
Thank you, Alvaro, and good morning, everyone. I'll go through the financial highlights, but I won't repeat all the detail included in our MD&A. I would refer people to read that as well. Total revenue for the second quarter of 2019 was $3.7 million, representing a 5% increase over Q1 2019 and a 26% increase over the comparative Q2 2018. Of this total revenue, 90% was recurring. Recurring revenue in the second quarter was $3.3 million, representing a 5% increase over Q1 and a 26% increase over the comparative Q2 of 2018. In terms of revenue bookings, ARR base at June 30th, 2019 was $13.7 million, representing a total increase of 26% year-over-year and a 5% increase over March 31, 2019. As Alvaro mentioned, our ARR base is shifting to a higher proportion of larger customers. Customers with greater than $100,000 of annual equivalent recurring revenue has grown to be 30% of our base versus 23% at June 30th last year. Revenue from professional services was $372,000 for Q2 compared to $358,000 in Q1 and $281,000 in Q2 2018. Gross margin on total revenue for the second quarter was 84%, up from 81% in Q1 and 83% in Q2 2018. This is a blended rate from both professional services and recurring revenue components. The recurring revenue portion was actually 90% of recurring revenue, an increase from 89% in Q1 and 88% from Q2 last year. Operating expenses for the second quarter were $3.5 million, up 7% over Q1. The increase in Q2 is primarily attributable to our continued investment in product and research and development. Just to add a bit of color, Alvaro mentioned that we are investing in sales and marketing as well, and we did. It didn't have an impact on the Q2, an increase over Q1 in sales and marketing, but we did add more headcount later in the quarter. So we are continuing to invest there, and we can go into more detail in the Q&A if people are interested. Loss from operations for Q2 2019 was $417,000, up slightly from the first quarter of 2019 of $398,000. Net loss was $530,000, effectively flat from $532,000 in Q1. Non-GAAP op loss for Q2 was $335,000, an increase from $286,000 from the first quarter of 2019 and a decrease from $582,000 from Q2 last year. Our cash balance at the end of June was $5.75 million compared to $3.3 million at December 31, 2018. The increase in cash is attributable to the exercise of U.S. $2.4 million in warrants. Also of note, cash flow from operations for the first half of the year was slightly positive. The biggest contributing factor here is the increase in cash from prepaid contracts, offsetting a significant portion of the non-GAAP loss for those same 6 months. In summary, we are pleased with the trends in our key metrics. We added 5% sequential growth in recurring revenue in the quarter, adding to our string of steady growth there. Our enterprise base grew in proportion to our total base, mostly through expansion of existing customers. Prepaid contracts from these customers contributed to our cash flow to mitigate our already reduced operating losses. Cash flow from operations was actually up slightly over the first 6 months of the year. Our non-GAAP op loss increased slightly as planned, as we mentioned last quarter. As we grow revenue, we want to reinvest that growth into enterprise product development and sales capabilities. While we may see variability in growth in the short term, as we continue to build out our enterprise capabilities, we are continuing to invest in sales and marketing to add depth and be able to take advantage of the continuing strong demand that we are seeing. That concludes the financial highlights. With that, I'll ask the moderator to open up the line for questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone. You will then hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request. And should you decide you would like to withdraw your question, simply press star followed by 2. And we do ask that if you're using a speakerphone, to please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Please go ahead and press star 1 now if you do have a question. And your first question will be from David Kwan at PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Morning, David.
Hey, Dave.
Morning. Morning. Good job on the quarter. Jumping onto the, on the sales marketing side, you guys, Dave, I think you talked about some of the stuff that you were doing towards the end of Q2 that's going to impact Q3. Can you provide some more details there?
Yeah. So just to put it in perspective, I guess Michael Cho started not quite a year ago. He started Q3 last year and really made some significant changes in the sales team going into 2019, as one would expect, reorganized the team. So we did see a bit of change in that group and some turnover in Q1. Got back on track in Q2 and added some good strength. Took a little while to add people there. He wanted to make sure he was getting the right people. So now we've built that team up, and we feel like it's got some bench strength going forward. Just to give you a sense, I'll give you some numbers. So quota-bearing reps at the end of last year were 10, and then that decreased to about 8 by the end of Q1. And at the end of Q2, that was up to 12, and mid-quarter, so as of last week, we were up to around 15, so making good progress there.
No, that's helpful, Dave. Thanks. Thanks for that. I guess is Michael and are you guys happy with that level now, or is there plans to add some more?
Yeah, we're gonna. We needed to make the gap up, and we feel like we've made good strides there. But we're not stopping. We want to keep building that team out, and make sure that the growth rate there is consistent with the growth in the business, at least, and even more. So we don't want to be in a position where, you know, if you have changes within the group, that's, you know, a significant portion of the group. We want to, make sure we've got lots there to get to critical mass so that, you know, any changes wouldn't have an impact. So.
And are these people that you guys are adding, are they experienced reps? And such, they'll hopefully will get up the curve quickly and get to their full quotas.
Yeah, we've added a few more in the States as well, and they are, David. I mean, historically, most of our sales came from, you know, marketing leads, and then we started to add partner leads. And I'm talking about the last couple of years. So they would really just have those leads qualified, and then they would jump in and work on closing them. The team that we're adding now are capable of certainly that, plus doing more outbound, being able to talk to enterprise reps, and we're getting into more IT as part of the sales, and those people would have more, you know, better skills in that respect. And maybe I'll pass it over to Alvaro to comment more on that.
I know. You said it well. And all lines of business, I mean, the commercial and the enterprise, continue to have substantial demand. So, we're going to push the gas pedal and continue to do it. We've never been doing things crazy. I mean, we're steady and driven by numbers and productivity, and the numbers are there, so we're going at it.
No, that's good. That's good to hear. I guess, you know, looking at to some of these reps, so you've had pretty good growth to date, kind of the land and expand strategy. A lot of the growth has been with your existing customers. Do you feel that you're in a better position to kind of go out and win some larger deals with newer customers with this team in place, or do you still expect kind of a continuation of the, you know, strong and steady growth within your existing customer base?
Yeah, great question. I think we're starting to see that the combination of partners, what I mentioned there about that quadrant and that recognition by, put a press release soon, but by that analyst firm, it's very relevant. I mean, the space is very clearly delineated now. We have a very clear value proposition and a very clear differentiation within that space. And I think that's bringing us into some very interesting conversations. So partnering activity continues, which is the fastest way to get to some of those IT or senior line of business managers conversations. So we're starting to see a lot more of them happening. A lot more interest as well from those large enterprises is still coming through our website. The description of what we do is very, I think, is well placed, and you will see some tweaks and moves and changes refining it even further. So I think it's working, and we're getting to those conversations. Yes, we are, and feels good.
Okay, perfect. On the R&D front, that ticked up this quarter. Was there anything particular that drove the increase, or was it just timing? And kind of looking forward, is this kind of the base that we should be looking at in terms of a run rate?
There was a few different factors. First of all, we had an IRAP program that we claimed in Q1, so that brought the expense down a little bit in Q1. So when you're comparing Q2 to Q1, that has an impact. What we did add was some strength on the product management, product marketing side. We've got new tiers coming out, and they've been building that out and building the messaging, working with the analysts to come up with better communications to customers and out to the public. So built up some strength there. And then, yeah, did add some on the development team as well, but nothing as dramatic there. But, we're going to continue to build that steadily, but really what you're going to see going forward is more growth in the sales and marketing area. We had that IRAP program that ended in Q1. We're working on more, so we'll see what comes through, but that's a nice thing where we can add headcount but not have the expense related to it.
Okay, like you weren't using a bunch of subcontractors or whatnot this quarter. It was more in-house spend?
It was. We have a mix, but no real change to it. But what we've been doing is adding more in-house, and we're always looking at different ways to bring in talented people internationally. And we actually did bring in some people. There's five junior engineers that came in, so adding a lot of depth to the organization, but less costly, and they're getting great experience, and we're getting great benefit from their capabilities. So always looking at ways where we can add that.
Oh, perfect. Just one more question for me on the gross margin side. Nice to see the pickup here. Was there anything going on that drove that, and kind of how sustainable is it, or how should we be looking at that line going forward?
Yeah, good question. So on the recurring revenue, we hit 90%, so up a little bit. I think the way that margin works, or the way the cost of sales works against that, is sometimes it's a bit of a step function. So we've been, steadily growing the revenue base, and the cost didn't go up quite as much. So got the benefit there. Now that could and will likely change going forward in terms of when we add new features. There might be another step function in terms of a cost related to that, but nothing significant. So I think, when you're talking our margins, it's been very consistent in that 88 to 90% range for a long time. So it might come up and down a little bit in that range, but still pretty steady there, I think.
So I guess overall, though, including in the professional service side, which can be a bit more lumpy, kind of low 80% range is still kind of what we should be modeling in.
Yeah, so overall, just on the professional services at that color there, so actually it was pretty decent. I think it was 29% in that area, the margins there. And historically, that's been lower, and we've had a mix of, we call it professional and other services, and the other services tends to be lower margin where, we're doing marketing programs, so a lot of it's, more cost, third-party costs that are involved there. We didn't have that in the last two quarters, actually. So really, it's been the production of that team that have been doing deployment services and those types of activities. So running at a pretty efficient rate and getting pretty close to 30% margin there. So that looks good. There will be always some variability up or down, but so that should be fairly consistent in that range. So overall, that blended to 84%. Now that's a tougher one because it depends on the mix. I think that's reasonable in that range. Maybe once again, maybe a variability of 1 to 2%.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have any questions, please press star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone. And your next question will be from Gabriel Leung at Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. So a lot of the details have already been provided, but maybe Alvaro, you can talk a little bit about as you go through the sales process with an enterprise, are you running into scenarios where you're getting pushback from some of the smaller accounts who could become bigger accounts in terms of expanding? And, what are some of the pushbacks you might be hearing from them? Or is it really just a timing thing in terms of, if and when they deploy larger anyways?
Yeah, great question. So I spoke last time about the 120, 140 large enterprise customers. How are classification of large enterprise means 2,500 employees or more. So the first fact is that it continues to increase. So we keep on bringing new people in the top of the funnel with that characteristic, which goes back to the message and the positioning, et cetera. The second part of it is as you engage with them, the large existing ones, put it, the ones that have already bought on, they're expanding faster and deeper, which is a great set which is great news too. So then the question is, how do you take those in the middle and what are the dynamics associated with them? What we're seeing is that there are two flavors of them, line of business driven expansion. And on those, we have use cases and it's just cycles. It is you're engaging with them, they use the product in a geography, we're expanding to another geography, and we go, and it works. And it's starting to work. We have to add more resources to it, no question about it. That's what we're doing, and we're starting to see it coming through. The other flavor that is the one that is attached closer to the analyst report that I mentioned is an IT-driven expansion. And that's a very important one to talk about. That's one where IT is now saying, I need a tool to enable more line of business or self-serve automation. And that's a very powerful one. And that's the one that we have a product for them and we're tweaking a little bit more the messaging. And that's one where we're starting to see is a new source of that conversation. So as you can hear from what I just said, I mean, there are different flavors of them. We're specializing, different motions to go after them.
Gotcha. Maybe one more question just as we think about M&A and maybe the future evolution of your platform. At this point, you guys are obviously focused on what you have in place right now, the products you have in place right now, and getting deeper into some of your existing customers. Where's the thought process in terms of, how is this platform going to evolve over time? What major pieces do you think you could add to it, whether it be, workflow related or maybe content management related? Is that something you guys are thinking about? Is that something we can expect to see in the near future?
Yeah, so I think I go back to the same analyst piece, which basically sets the definition of the space more clearly. So what the first part that is happening is that the forms a story. I'm going to say something, and I will characterize it in a second. The forms a story is past. Okay, a form, what is it? A set of questions and answers that was an easy way to get these people to look at a workflow and building an app that it was done in an efficient manner. I think that's behind, and with that, we leave as well a set of competitors and a set of capabilities because we have a top-notch product that does that and a lot more. So as we've been enhancing that product, we're getting into some of the things you mentioned, I mean, which is sort of like how do workflows operate, how do you ingest better data in the field, how do you do a lot of those things where our product is very good and differentiates against many people. And then in the bigger picture, it's going to be, okay, so what kind of LCAP tool we want to be, okay? And in the current positioning, I mean, is we are a field-centric one. And the field centric gives us a set of issues that we're going to continue to specialize on. So from now on, yes, bringing new technologies, whether we OEM or in the future, we can be looking at other ways of bringing those technologies in to get deeper in that area. We had hired some help to size how big that market is and the verticals that we're going after, and it's very, very sizable. So there is no end in sight to that thought process. And then as we continue to evolve it, yes, now we're in a position where we're adding people. We have a good balance sheet. We have more cash. We have a lot more freedom to entertain some of those higher growth thoughts. And we are talking about those already.
I gotcha. And sorry, Dave, one last question. Sorry to make you repeat yourself, but I missed the part about sales and marketing and what additional costs or headcount additions we should expect to see in Q3.
Okay, well, I went through the numbers. I'll just repeat them. So we ended the year at, or 2018, we ended the year with 10 producing reps, and that was down a little bit to 8 at the end of Q1 and up to 12 at the end of Q2, and then mid-Q3 we're at about 15. And, you know, we want to continue to add, you know, at the pace of the business or more in that area, until we get to a critical mass where, you know, in Q1 I think we were hurt a little bit, like 8 quota-bearing reps. You know, they were mostly making their living off of the existing customers that were expanding, and we had very good leads coming in from other sources and just weren't being, you know, dealt with enough attention. So now that we have more depth in the organization, if we make any changes or if there anything happens, then, you know, we have that critical mass to carry on. And then we want to get into a good rhythm continuing to go forward with a good rhythm of adding, you know, reps at either the pace of our growth or even a little more to make sure we're ahead of it, not falling behind that. So, you know, our priority is growth, and we want to make sure we're feeding that at the right level.
Gotcha. Thanks for the feedback. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, pleasure. Thanks, Gabriel.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have any questions, please press star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone. And at this time, we have no other questions, so I would like to turn the call back to Mr. Pombo.
Thank you, Sylvie. We see a stronger demand, as I said, supported by industry experts, and we believe that we're on the right track investing in our enterprise product and sales team to take full advantage of that. We're very excited about what's ahead for the business. Once again, thank you very much, everyone, for spending your time with us this morning. And as always, I would like to thank as well. Thank you all for your continued support. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this does indeed conclude your conference call for today. Once again, thank you for attending. And at this time, we do ask that you please disconnect your lines. Enjoy the rest of your day.